I'd like to introduce then Mike Newton Ward, who is the social marketing consultant for the North Carolina Division of Public Health, where he's practiced social marketing for 10 years. He also participates in the Turning Point Social Marketing National Excellence Collaborative, a coalition of six states created by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to promote the use of social marketing in public health nationally. He has consulted with state and federal agencies on the use of social marketing, contributed to social marketing textbooks and journals, and co-taught social marketing courses at UNC Chapel Hill School of Public Health. His current activities include building the capacity of public health systems to use the PRISM commercial marketing database for audience research. And he is a snob about good coffee, high-quality dark chocolate, and well-done social marketing. So as soon as I get his slides up here, let me just make sure that we're up. Right, we are. I'll introduce then to you, and please welcome Mike Newton Ward. Mike, it's all yours.
Well, hi, good afternoon and good morning, folks, wherever you may be across the time zones. I'm really pleased to be with you this afternoon. Jay asked me to include a picture in case you're walking through the post office one day and either see me own America's Most Wanted or one of the milk cartons that shows a missing person. This is what I look like. So say hello to me if you're in the airport next time, and I'll be happy to chat with you. We have quite a bit to cover today. North Carolina has been involved in trying to utilize social marketing for a good 10 years now, and for the past 5 or 6 years, we've been very much involved in building the capacity of our programs and our staff to do that. So what I want to do today is to take a few of the things we've done and kind of deeply explore a sample of those with you, and then lightly touch on some other things. What I think the program will look like today is to give you a brief overview of what things were like here in terms of social marketing. And this is prior to 2003, and I'm not totally oriented to time. That should be prior to the year 2000. Talk with you some about how we used social marketing to market social marketing here in the division, what the results were of that, and then some of the sustainability issues that we've run into over the past 6 years and kind of distill those out into some lessons learned. So as I go through this, I invite you to listen and think about what you're already doing in your own agency or organization that's reflected here and what might be some things that you can pick up. And equally as well, if you're doing consultation with an individual or a group in your organization, which of these kinds of concepts and activities that we've done that you might use for that as well. So where did we begin? I go back to the year 2000. And prior to that, basically within our division, we had a random group of individuals in various programs who were trying to utilize social marketing. And among those of us who were, we really varied in proficiency from some people who had been to things like the University of South Florida Social Marketing Conference to other people who maybe had just heard of it. There was a lot of thought that social marketing among the staff equaled the idea of promotion, doing a brochure or a good poster or a billboard or something like that. On the positive side for us, there was great name recognition for social marketing as a concept, something out there that public health was using that we might want to use. And we had this wonderful thing called the North Carolina Public Health Awareness Program, the purpose of which was to develop awareness around the state among both regular citizens and legislative decision makers that North Carolina, that public health was a part of their life for everybody, everywhere, every day. And then we were very fortunate to have what I would call a social marketing guru in the person of Christopher Cook, who headed up the Public Health Awareness Program and who really was spot on for a lot of us in terms of introducing us to what best practice social marketing was. So that was the state of things. It was kind of a not a pretty sight in some ways. And then things really began to change for us when we got a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that was called Turning Point. And I know this may be hard to read, but I wanted to just to give you, if nothing else, kind of a visual graphic of how our Division of Public Health was organized at the time back in the year 2000. we had several major sections for programs: oral health, local health services that tended to deal with local health departments, a health promotion section that looked at chronic disease kinds of entities and injury prevention, epidemiology, which included communicable disease, HIV, STD, and then a women and children's health branch. And our Turning Point grant was situated within local health services. The purpose of this grant nationally in the United States had the grand goal of preparing states' public health organizations for, as they put it, the new millennium since we had turned the corner into 2000. And in North Carolina, we decided that we wanted our focus for that new millennium to be on developing our capacity to do best practice social marketing and health communication. Out of the grant, two of the things that happened were that the consultant that I'm the position that I'm currently in as a social marketing consultant for the division was created using the grant money. And then Leah Devlin, who is now our state health director and at the time was head of chronic disease and who had received the grant, also created this entity that she called the Social Marketing Matrix Team, which has played a very important role for us. And I'll say more about the Matrix Team in just a moment. So we had those two things locally. And then at the national level, out of the Robert Wood Johnson grant, we also had a collaborative that Jay referred to, the Social Marketing National Excellence Collaborative, that was a coalition of six other states that had received grants and were working to promote social marketing nationally. It was very clear to us in North Carolina that if we were going to promote the use of social marketing and create a behavior change in an organization, that we really wanted to go back and use basic social marketing principles to advance social marketing and really to practice what we preached. So this is just a reminder of what some of those good core principles are that we did indeed utilize. And one kind of caveat I want to make up front is that indeed what we found ourselves doing within our organization was diffusing an innovation. To think about using social marketing was something that was new to a lot of the organization, and so it was susceptible, if you will, to a lot of those things that you find if you look at that fusion of innovation theory, that you have people who are at various stages of wanting to adopt this, from the early adopters to those people on the end who are called laggards or sluggards or some other unbecoming name. And that it was important to us to remember that the change that we were trying to create was going to have life cycles, and this very much played itself out, that there are times where we've had great success and times where things have been kind of dormant. And I would encourage you, if you're undertaking this kind of innovation, to just still yourself and think about that in your organization as well. And then the other thing we realized is that we were talking about behavior change at the individual staff level, and that change is hard no matter who you are. As a colleague of mine says, change is difficult, just as difficult for those of us who are in public health and about trying to create behavior change as it is for the patient or community populations that we are creating. So this really has been an ongoing event that's unfolded over the last 6 years and is still unfolding for us. Now, I mentioned the Matrix team, and our state health director created this to have kind of what she wanted to be a go-to resource for social marketing. As you can see from the pink colors in some of the boxes here on the organizational chart, what she and Christopher Cook, who was the project director for this grant, tried to do was to pick people from a variety of different programmatic sections, and particularly to pick people who either were already interested in doing social marketing, who were health educators, and we felt like that it would be easy for them to segue into learning social marketing, and also just people who were like the folks that if you were diffusing some new innovation that you would want to tell them about it, because they really were kind of the switchboards or the people who could cause things to tip into a new behavior. And so this gives you some idea that we were able at the beginning to pull from several of the sections, and over time then we got representatives on our Matrix team from all of the sections involved. Very early on, we set down a goal statement and a vision statement that has guided us throughout our 6 years. And I won't take time to read this. I think you have this on your handout. you can look at it. But we really did find that this for us became a living, breathing document that we went back to a number of times to guide us in what it was that we really wanted to do, what was that grand vision that we were trying to get to, and help us to think about how do we get to that in terms of the activities that we do. So I think it was very important for us to have this as kind of a guiding document for the work that we did. Just to say a word about the team, this team was subject to all the same kind of group dynamics and organizational dynamics that any team is. And if you're undertaking to form a go-to team to promote social marketing, it really is important to use good group dynamics, you know, and to think about logistics of where and when can the members meet, you know, to have an agenda, how often do you want to meet, things like that. Don't neglect those basic group dynamics. And we used this matrix team then to develop our internal marketing plan. We also used the team meetings to create learning opportunities for the staff who were on the team so that they could grow in their development being good social marketers. And one of the things that we did from the very first year was to have a yearly strategic planning retreat where we looked back at what we had accomplished, what we had not done. We did an environmental scan in terms of a SWOT analysis, looking at what had worked and what hadn't worked, and used that then to guide our plan for the new year and our activities. So then, what are some of the things that we did here in North Carolina in terms of our activities or our interventions? We really did a lot of audience research, and I've got to say, this is just as valid working internally in an organization as it is working externally with a patient or client population. We've gone back to the well several times to talk to members of our management team here and to staff on what we should do and how we could promote social marketing to them. We started out with a convenience focus group of Matrix team members, which was fairly clean at the time. They were fairly uncontaminated by ideas of what social marketing should be like, so we could kind of use them as a temperature gauge for what was going on in other sections. And then we also did a series of key informant interviews. We used this very nice set of planning questions that came from the University of South Florida that really helped us look at what it was that we wanted to achieve or to be different. You know, what were the actual outcomes behaviorally in terms of awareness, what have you, that we wanted to look at. And then to really help us to think in terms of what were the barriers and facilitators, what were things that people cared about already that we could hook our desire for them to do social marketing onto so that they would see social marketing as something to help them achieve what they wanted to achieve. And then just what was the effect of the general environment, both in the division and then larger in public health in the United States. These next several slides are something that you can look at on your handout more in more detail later. But just to highlight a few of the things that came out of that questioning process in terms of what we wanted to change or be different, we wanted staff to know what social marketing is, both theoretically what the concepts were and then what are the steps in the process. One of the things that we discovered as a barrier is that social marketing is costly. That is costly in terms of the time it takes to do, the amount of staff you need, and the amount of funding you need. And we wanted to change that perception to show that social marketing is something that you can weave into your daily life and work. And to show when social marketing is an appropriate intervention, and to eventually have that in as an item in people's performance management work plans that we do. Some of the barriers that we discovered that were important to people were a lack of access to tools and resources to perform social marketing and the perception that social marketing is easy to integrate. If you look down below that by the RX is short for remedies, you can see some of the activities or interventions that we came up with to address those specific barriers. Another barrier that this is just a fad. And then what did people care about? People cared about that this would be easy for them to do. So, for example, to help make it easy, we used case examples that were pertinent to their area of work or to the disease entity that they were working with. We provided them with templates and worksheets. We hooked them up with people who were already supportive in doing social marketing to help make this easy for them, or as the Academy for Educational Development likes to say, to make it fun, easy, and popular for them. One thing that we discovered is that what their supervisors think are very important. So over time, we have made sure that Dr. Devlin, our health director, has done things to support people and managers utilizing social marketing and to look at the ways that could be worked into people's work plans so that they actually get some credit for doing it. This next slide, again, I realize this may be hard to see, but I just wanted to give you a sense for each of the audiences we had. We developed a fairly intricate marketing plan with who the audience would be, what it is we wanted them to do, and then the kinds of interventions that we would use. So this guided the work that we did. And some of the interventions that we've done over time that have been extremely helpful. Each year, the state health director has a statewide conference. In 2002,
okay, sorry to interrupt, Mike.
Yes.
We're at Environment Canada here. We don't have any time to read your slides. It's going too fast. I don't know if others have this problem, other participants.
Okay.
I don't know if you have enough time to spend a bit more time at this slide, but we read the first paragraph and then they change. Anyway, just I thought I'd let you know that.
Okay, thanks for that. I will try to slow down some here. And also, too, just in the slides that you've seen so far, I would encourage there are things that you could look at on your handouts. The slides that are going forward from here, I think I'll be able to take a little more time on and give you a chance to read them. But thanks for that feedback.
And just to add to that, Mike, I'll just mention you're on 22 out of your 45, so you're almost halfway through your slides. But
okay.
You're much less than halfway through the time that you've have for yourself.
Okay, great. Thank you. One thing, too, I can get very excited talking about social marketing, so I'll try to breathe and calm down here and take this a little more slowly. On this slide, going forward for the next couple, I just wanted to share with you some of the interventions that we had used to inculcate social marketing here. One of the nice things we were able to do at the very beginning of this process was to utilize the State Health Directors Conference, which occurs every year and is open to both people in our State Division of Public Health, managers and program staff, as well as staff from our local health departments. And this two-day conference in 2002 was dedicated to social marketing. So we were able to use some of our Turning Point grant money to get in a really high quality level of speaker to come in. We had Bill Smith from the Academy for Educational Development, Rebecca Brooks from Planned Parenthood, a number of people who you might normally see, say, at the University of South Florida conference if you were fortunate enough to go there. We were able to obtain and really come in and kind of showcase from people outside of North Carolina who were experts. This is what social marketing is. We also did a number of what I call social marketing 101 trainings for various staff and programs. Just to teach them, these are the basics of social marketing. This is what it looks like. This is how it's different from a communications-only approach, and this is how you might use it. To communicate with people, we had a dedicated social marketing bulletin board, and this was very strategically placed outside of the snack bar of the building that we were in. And we put it outside the snack bar because in our audience research that we had done earlier, we asked people how they would like to get information. And a lot of people said, we go to the snack bar. And if there's a bulletin board there, we would read it. So we would put information that changed monthly on the bulletin boards. Folks also told us that they would read information that came through email. So we used a lot of blast emails to give information and tips about social marketing, and also to promote trainings that were coming up. We did a lot of presentations to staff meetings for branch staffs and program staffs that were fairly small and intimate, just a lot of talking it up and creating buzz. And I put two asterisks here because I really cannot emphasize enough how important just kind of informal face-to-face contacts were, talking with people, kind of catching folks at teachable moments, was to get people interested in social marketing or to follow up on questions they had. This really proved to be, I think, one of the most important kind of communication channels we had in terms of making a difference was a lot of one-on-one contact. I and others were doing actual consulting when a program wanted to use to apply social marketing concepts. So we used the consultation as a time to do teaching. And then as we had built up kind of a record of consultation successes, we could share those with other programs that we were wanting to reach or which were interested. And then finally, beginning in the very first year of our grant in 2000, we got Dr. Devlin to proclaim November as Social Marketing Month in North Carolina. And ever since then, November has been Social Marketing Month in North Carolina. And we've used this particular month to really highlight that social marketing is here, how it's used in public health, and done various things from having fairs that people would come to special presentations, to creative bulletin boards, to providing booklets and information and training. So if you came to our offices right now and went through the buildings, you would see a number of posters around, weekly seminars and webinars, and at various, again, the snack bars. Food is a great motivator for people to do things. So we've put a lot of things in snack bars, which where people normally go to, that they can look at and contact us about social marketing. We also created a social marketing lending library where we got a lot of the best kind of best practice textbooks and journals like Social Marketing Quarterly and put in there for people to borrow. Working with our contracts office, we created this thing called the convenience contracting process, which at the time enabled us to speed through the contracting process for folks who wanted to use a social marketing or marketing or advertising vendor outside of the division. And we had a pre-approved list of between 18 to 25 vendors who had been vetted that people could choose from if they were wanting to do social marketing or communications as best practice, and it went beyond what we could provide in-house. Finally, we were able to get social marketing put in the work plans of a number of folks so that they would get credit for it. And then our social marketing matrix team from time to time holds what we call a clinic in the round where a program or staff can come to us, present what they're wanting to do, and we will kind of critique it for them and give them information about what next steps, what they might want to consider, some examples of kind of best practice marketing that would fit with the program and the goals that they want to have. So those were some of the interventions we did. Within our state division, at the local level for our county health departments, we also did a four-month social marketing certification program. These next few slides are just some examples of some of the posters we've put up where, we say, for example, we've promoted resources here promoting the Georgetown University social marketing listserv. We've done a lot of tips, and this tip, for example, is about one way to do audience research. And these are actually questions that come out of some work that the National Institutes of Health did, that they apply the name of a simplified elicitation methodology, which I like to call six easy questions, basically asking what makes a behavior easier or harder. What are the good things and bad things that happen from doing the behavior, and who would approve and disapprove? These next few slides show some of the poster sessions we've had about basics of social marketing, programs that have utilized social marketing concepts, and we have tried to have incentives at our happenings, our teach-ins. And for example, the first year, because we had Turning Point funds, to make it a little sweeter for people to come, we were able to offer someone from a drawing an all-expense-paid trip to the University of South Florida Social Marketing and Public Health Conference. We also gave away things like the Kotler book on social marketing, improving the quality of life. And then again, we had food, which is always a great motivator for behavior. And this is Dr. Lear Devlin, our state health director, and she has been, I think, one of the keys to the advancements that have taken place here. She's been very supportive of social marketing. And as you can see, this is her take on social marketing, that she feels like it really can provide us in public health with improved outcomes, and that it's evidence-based and makes the best use of the resources that we have. So it's been very important to have a champion in management for social marketing. So what happened to this in the first 4 years as the result of all this? We, from 2000 to 2004, as you can see here, we had a 41% increase in the number of separate programs within the division that requested consultation on how to use social marketing. We had a huge number of projects that they were working on. It represented a 264% increase in the number of projects that people brought for consultation and for requests for assistance. One of the things that we felt like was indicative that people were understanding that social marketing is something that you can't just do at the last minute is that the requests for consultation started to become earlier. It literally changed from people coming to me the day before a grant was due and saying, okay, what can I put into my grant application about social marketing, to when people would first get an RFP, a request for proposals for a grant, coming to us and saying, how can we use this? And then we had repeat customers. These people came back. And we really were able to see both individuals and programs move through the stages of change from not thinking about social marketing to thinking about using it to actually using it to a couple of programs that this really has become a major source of planning for them. So we had some good feedback that our interventions were being effective. We also had the opportunity to use social marketing as the basis of a statewide childhood overweight reduction grant. And then one of the things that I was very happy about at the end of our Turning Point grant period, my consultant position went from grant funds to continuing hard funds so that I was able to do this. So I thought, well, hopefully this is indicative that what I and we have been doing is something that the our division values. So what have we done since then, since we no longer have the grant funding from Robert Wood Johnson? We've faced a couple of barriers, and as you can see here, all of the members of our social marketing matrix team have what I call a day job. They're all involved in a program of some kind on a day-to-day basis. And so what they do in terms of promoting social marketing in the division is an add-on to what they do. So they're not always available to consult with me or to be available to a particular project outside of their own. There's been varying amounts of support from program managers at that larger section level. And again, I think this has kind of followed a diffusion of innovation curve. A couple of managers very early came on, and actually, as I plot this out over 6 years, at this point in all of our major sections, we call them section chiefs here, are at least conversant about social marketing and are willing to have their programs do something with it, and some of them are very much cheerleaders about it. But again, that has varied by time and place and kind of where people have been in their own need for social marketing at the managerial level. One of the things that we discovered was problematic is kind of a lack of a planning culture. And I don't say this to disrespect my own division. This is actually something that having been in public health a while, I see public health doing a lot that there's a tendency to want to jump to tactics without taking the time to do some audience research or some formative research to look at what's going on and decide what are the determinants of the behavior and how do we most, what is the best way to affect those. And since social marketing is very heavily dependent on a good strategic planning process, one of the things that we've had to deal with here is to kind of move people along a diffusion of change curve for just taking the time to do planning. Then this last bullet point about things changing and things happening has included a lot of what I would call unfortunate events that if you were familiar with the Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate event movies could apply to social marketing here. Our original social marketing guru, Christopher Cook, retired. So basically, I'm the single go-to person for the whole division and for all the county health departments in North Carolina that want to use social marketing. on our matrix team, over time, we've had turnover. People who have become conversant with social marketing have rotated off or have left for other jobs. We currently have no dedicated budget to use just for social marketing or for activities to promote social marketing. We have to depend on kind of getting tithing, if you will, from existing programs. Also, looking more broadly, there has been an increase in the U.S. in federal funds that are available for a lot of programs, which has made it harder for people to think about possibly using social marketing, particularly if it seems to them that it's something that takes a lot of resources. In terms of things that have worked in our favor, at this point, we now have a 6-year track record among the programs in the division of utilizing social marketing. We have programs that have very much moved to the maintenance phase of using social marketing. That is their preferred planning method. And so as a result of that, there's been a lot of positive word of mouth that's taken place between programs about, hey, you really should consider this, or, yeah, you really should go talk to Mike or the Matrix team about how to do this. They can be helpful for you. And plus, we just have more examples of how social marketing has been applied within our own division that we can share with folks and see if you're in a similar situation, then you might want to do this. Particularly on our social marketing matrix team, there is an absolute commitment that social marketing is something that's important. There are people who will go to their death on their tombstone saying, I worked on social marketing here. And I think that that has really been a big help, particularly in times where it seemed like no one was really interested or responding, to have that sense that social marketing does have something to contribute, and we're going to hang in there with this long-term change to do it. Two new products, if you will, came to us that really helped promote social marketing. One of those was the CD Synergy Social Marketing Edition CD-ROM-based planning software, which I hope a number of you are familiar with. That was created through a collaboration with the Centers for Disease Control, the Academy for Educational Development in Washington, D.C., and then the Robert Wood Johnson Social Marketing Collaborative. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. And then also our division was able to get access to the PRISM Commercial Marketing Database, which CDC, NIH, and some other public health entities utilize as well, which created a tremendous amount of interest in planning and marketing. And then on the positive side, things have changed. For example, in a organizational move, my position was moved into a new section, which gave me the opportunity to go to a different set of staff meetings and kind of open up, this is what social marketing can do for you, and create a lot of interest. There have been outside influences, for example, where the Centers of Disease Control has suggested that programs utilize social marketing has been a big help to getting programs here to think about using social marketing if they want to apply for the funding. The Robert Wood Johnson Social Marketing Collaborative continues, even though the grant period is over, so they're continuing to be an outside source of support. And I think it's also helped that internally, just for us in public health in North Carolina and from our state legislature, there's been an increased emphasis on accountability in the use of funds and in being able to show that the things that we do and how we spend money really does move the needle on behavior change. So that has given an opening to us to say social marketing can help you to do that. Now, quickly, I just want to go through a couple of the outside products that we had newly available to us, one of which was CD Synergy Social Marketing Edition, which is, a CD-ROM-based planning program that you can use on your desktop or laptop computer that takes you through 6 phases of a social marketing process. I will tell you a story that when this was first presented here, someone from CDC presented it to us, and if there are any audience from CDC, no disrespect for you, but the person was not familiar with CD Synergy that well and did not do a great job of presenting it to us. When we got this new version of CD Synergy, one of the things that I was up against were people having long memories and staff members and managers saying, this is not going to be like that other CD Synergy that we saw, is it? And so we had to show them, and we were able to show them, you know, this is not your grandfather's CD Synergy. And as we exposed people to it, what we found that our staff really liked was that, yes, they could go through all of the process, but if what they really needed to find out was how do I do some audience research and how do I do focus groups or how can I really improve the evaluation portion of the program I'm doing, they could go into CD Synergy and use the resources around those particular pieces that they were doing and not be burdened, if you will, by going through all six phases. So that flexibility of it was a selling point and something that has made people actually want to use it more and to use it for very specific projects that then have grown into trying to use social marketing from nuts to soup, if you will. People also found that it was really fun to use and engaging to use, both because of the graphics and just an improved audience interface. And one of the things that having this available has led to is that there has been an increased interest in planning generally and not just saying, well, we heard that Arkansas did this, so we should do it here in North Carolina. Or, hey, I just read about this in a journal. Let's do it here without reflecting on is it the most appropriate thing to do for our audience. So it's been a good thing. Now, as we tried to teach people about Synergy, again, we ran into this issue that people in the division were not necessarily using a best practice planning model. We went back to the formative research well, if you will, and did actually 2 years' worth of audience research. We had the opportunity to use two absolutely wonderful graduate students, Jenny Miller and Claire Irvin, who have since gone on to work at the CDC and the Research Triangle Institute, respectively, who did just some very sophisticated audience research on why people were or were not using kind of a best practice planning model. They really went back to theory and used Michael Rothschild's framework of motivation and opportunity to look at this, and then looked at it in terms of the phases of CD Synergy. And as you can see here on the slide, again, we came up with some of the same barriers that we had discovered earlier to using social marketing were true for kind of using taking time to use a planning process, such as time, funding, having resources, what have you. From this, we developed another kind of full-blown marketing plan of interventions to try to reduce these costs or prices that people associated with taking the time to doing planning. That included things with like providing them with ready-made templates, sitting down and doing kind of a lot of sitting by your side, hand-holding, showing successful programs that had gone through the planning process, and making the case that this could get them to the ultimate behavior change goals and accountability that they wanted. But again, I cannot emphasize enough how important it was for us internally to go back, keep going back, and checking in with our audience over this six-year period and find out what was going on with them. I want to say something about interventions. We have had times here in the division where we have done things that are very high profile, like the Social Marketing Month, where we've really created a lot of buzz, where we've tried to make it hard for people to get away from social marketing so that it does look like everyone in the division is doing it, and you should be too. We've had some success for that, but also we've had some pushback from some people and some programs who feel like, you know, you're trying to get me to do this social marketing thing. I really don't want to do it. It looks like it competes with health education. It takes too much time. You've taken the fun out of planning. We can't just get together and decide that, hey, this is a nice thing to do. We've actually got to go through this process. So going high profile and creating a lot of buzz has worked in some cases, and in some cases it's created some barriers. We've kind of mixed our approaches now to take a little bit more laid-back approach, and I've got a traffic light here, and we kind of call this the traffic light approach. And this came from an observation of one of the members of our matrix team that maybe what we should do is just, for some people in programs, introduce this very gradually. Like if you're in your city and the Department of Transportation is getting ready to put up a new traffic light, they don't just put up the traffic light and turn it on and you stop one day. They start out with months before putting up a sign that, you know, warning there's going to be a traffic light here. Then finally they put it up and it just blinks for a while. And then finally they put up the sign or the light so that by the time they do that, people are used to the idea. So that's kind of the other approach we've taken, that just to start gently doing things, gently suggesting that, you know, the program next to you is utilizing social marketing. And people have, this has served for some people to kind of bring them around to it and think, well, yeah, maybe I should be doing this too because, yeah, everybody else is doing it as well. Now, just to say a word about the PRISM Commercial Marketing Database, this is a database that basically is used for audience segmentation. It's based on both census data and national marketing surveys that are done on a rotating basis. There's an incredible amount of information in it that I think really augments the existing kind of epidemiological information that we often have use have available to us or clinic data, and provides information on people's lifestyles and their media habits. And it really has kind of provided for us this 360-degree view of our audience and how we could best approach them. This has proven to be a wonderful tool, again, both to increase interest in planning and in social marketing, because partly people are just wowed by how much information is there for them to use and how it does give them very usable information on how they can better reach people and who they can reach out to for community partners. And I didn't realize this when we first got PRISM, but it was information that people and programs were really hungry for. And so this has been a phenomenon that's very much been a word of mouth, that we would run data or present this to one program. And by the end of the week, I would have three more requests to come talk to us about this, which then gives the opportunity to talk more about what are the advantages of social marketing. And since you're doing this little bit of planning using PRISM, let's talk about some of the other kinds of things that you can use planning for. So since 2004, what has happened? I think we really have achieved a system change, that social marketing is embedded in North Carolina public health, and that if I left tomorrow to run away and join the circus, that social marketing would go on with programs and people without my needing to be here. Recently, Dr. Devlin, our state health director, has asked that some introductory materials to social marketing be put on the employee orientation website that is now made available to people. We no longer have to go out and ask people, are you interested in social marketing? We have people and programs who regularly come to me or come to the Matrix team and say, can you help us? We want to do this. And additionally, people in other areas of our state government have recognized that, hey, public health is doing something interesting. How can that help us? And so we've gone out and assisted programs in a number of other areas, some of which you might think of as are natural, such as environment and natural resources, but also even in our Attorney General's state office for a victims assistance program that they have. So we feel like that we've done a good job with social marketing. And if I could distill things out to pass on to you that I think have been helpful, one of those things is, if you're just starting this or trying to build capacity, is to link with other people in your organization who are interested. I like to call this getting together with fellow deviants. You know, if you're talking about social marketing in a group, see whose eyes really light up and whose ears perk up, and reach out to those people. I think it works very well to look for natural opportunities. You know, certainly, for example, here in the U.S., just about every month is kind of a disease of the month, if you will, that's promulgated by some group that you can take advantage of. When grants come to your organization, that's been another great opportunity that we've taken advantage of. If new money comes into the organization, have created opportunities for, or, you know, even unfortunately, things like when the 9/11 attacks occurred and there was renewed emphasis on bioterrorism, it gave us an opportunity to say, here's what social marketing can do for you. It's really important to, you know, to find out what people want, what are their goals, and to try to tie social marketing into that and to demonstrate how social marketing can help them reach their goals. So it's not so much about us wanting to promote it, but how can they do the best job that they can. I think it really helps to have a champion, particularly in management. We were very fortunate to have our state health director be behind this. So look for who might be in a position of influence who can be a champion for you. And, you know, people really do respond to creating buzz. I may be dating myself, and this may be kind of culturally specific, but if you're familiar at all with the cartoon strip of Peanuts and the character of Pigpen, who always seems to have a bunch of dust flying up around him.
Really?
We've been very successful kind of keeping a lot of dust flying around about social marketing, and it really has gotten people's attention. As I said earlier, if you're doing this in a group, just use good group dynamics and good kind of organizational theory. You need that along with whatever else you're doing. I think it's really important to remember that this change has life cycles and to really think long range. We have reached places here after 6 years in terms of incorporating social marketing into the fabric of public health that I never envisioned that we would. And also, there were times where I thought social marketing is just dead in the water in North Carolina. And we've been able to create new interest, or interest has picked back up, and we've really infiltrated, if you will, the whole division. I think it's good to use a mixture of high and low profile interventions, from the race car to the warning sign that the stoplight's coming. I also think it's really important, this thing about feed your head. Don't neglect to continue to teach yourself and learn about social marketing and what's going on currently so that you can pass that on with others and just keep yourself refreshed. And then I think the last thing is to just prepare to be surprised. For example, earlier this year when we had the organizational change and my position moved to a new section, I had no idea that the interest was going to be generated in both PRISM and in social marketing that was, just because I had more individual face-to-face contact with folks, or that something happens in the environment that gives an opportunity for us to promote social marketing. And then, again, finally, you know, marketing really does work, and if you're going to use it externally, think about using it internally as well. So in a very huge nutshell, that's our experience here in North Carolina, things that have worked for us that I think could be transferred to other organizations. And, Jay, if I've left any time, I'll stop now to see if folks have questions or comments.
Yes, thank you. Let me first check, Mike. Can you stay on a little bit extra after 1 o'clock?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we'll take about 10 or 13 minutes of questions. And I also, for those of you who minimized your or maximized your screen size so that you're just seeing the slides only, can you go back and make it split screen and scroll down to the bottom of the conversation and click on that link so that you can do the webinar evaluation as we're taking questions? We'd very much appreciate that. Okay, Mike, over to you. Well, I guess, first of all, questions. Do people have questions that you'd like to ask Mike?
Can I jump in here?
Please do.
It's Maurice from Environment Canada in Ottawa. We were having a discussion while you were presenting, Mike, so sorry if we missed this, but I wanted to get your opinion or your comment on the use of the term marketing within your department. What I found in the departments that I've worked in is that there's an aversion to the word marketing and what it conjures up in people's minds.
Right, yes.
Sorry.
I did not encounter that so much in our own organization here, although I have encountered it in other organizations. And interestingly enough, particularly among some public health folks and also among people in public health who've come from more of a medical background who are actually clinical providers, who kind of have equated marketing with kind of the used car salesman image. And, I think that a strategy that has worked for me and for us when I have encountered that is, first of all, just to acknowledge it, but also to find out, ask some questions and find out what is it about marketing or the term marketing that you don't like or that really strikes you badly, and then try to address those things that the individual brings up to see if we can diffuse those a little bit.
Okay, great. Just a comment.
Yes.
Lefebvre on his blog, he has a recent posting on this topic, and you know, he also advocates that whatever comparable term is used within your organization, maybe go with that as well, whether it's health communications or environmental communications or whatever, to go with that as well.
I think that can be a really good point, and that really does kind of point up, you know, starting where your audience is. But I do think it's important to say if you're using, you know, health communication, that is a different discipline from marketing and social marketing. And so I think at some point you would want to try to do something to kind of, you know, move your own organizational audience along to realize that marketing is more than just the communication. And, you know, whether you end up calling it, I don't know, communications plus or, you know, communications on steroid or what have you,
right.
But to make sure that they don't just equate it with promotion.
Okay,
we have four questions that have come up onto the screen at this point. The last one I'll just very briefly address because I think it's a quick one. What's the blog you're referring to? That was Craig Lefebvre's blog you were talking about, social marketing blog?
That's right.
Can you put the URL into the text part and just hit return so that the other people will be able to find that blog?
I will. I'll do it in a minute.
Okay, great. So going back to the top, Sandy Allen asked, Kelly from North Carolina asked, well, what was involved with the four-month certification program?
Okay, sure. That four-month certification program, that was our way to try to get social marketing out to into our local health departments. And basically what we did was across our state is kind of divided into three regions, mountain, Piedmont, and coast. We sent out, and we have health education consultants who go out and interact with our local health departments, of which there are, I think, are now about 86 or 87 in the state. What we did in that case was, and let me just say that we had a lot of interest in being able to get social marketing out of the capital, out of the division offices here, so that people at the local level would understand it and use it. So first of all, our consultants kind of did a little informal audience research among the health department staff and looking primarily at health educators or people who might be in a communications position to see, were they interested in this thing called social marketing? Here's what it is. And would they like to learn more about how to use it? So we got a cadre of people who were then interested, and we basically set up a four-month training process where we used as the textbook Kotler's Social Marketing, Improving the Quality of Life, which I think is a very easily accessible, easy to understand, richly resourced textbook. And also in the back, it has a series of planning steps and pages. So basically what we did each month was to introduce, have some didactic and group kinds of educational experiences where we introduced people to the various phases of social marketing, starting out with identifying the problem, say, and selecting your audience. They would do readings out of the text, and we had supplementary case studies. Then we asked them to bring in a real live project or problem that they were working on, and we started taking it through the worksheets in the back of the book. And the folks who were faculty to that, you know, would provide advice and comments. Then basically folks would go back to work for a month, try to do the next steps in the process, then come back with the next part of their plan, which we would give them consultation about, then teach them, say, the next two steps in the social marketing process. So it really was kind of a learn and then do, try it out, come back, let's talk about it, learn, do, try it back, till by the end of the 4 months, and using the nice worksheets in the book, they really did have a full-fledged social marketing plan. And that was the basics of it. For people who wanted to get a piece of paper that was certification, we had a little kind of test case for them to comment on to make sure that they understood the basics of social marketing. Then we also had some small mini fund grants of, like, say, $500 that we were able to provide to the local health departments for them to actually seed money to go out and do some of the things that they had worked on.
Okay, we have quite a few questions at this point. Thank you for that, by the way. I think that detail will be very helpful to people. I'm just trying to brainstorm quickly with you, Mike, about how to answer these questions, because it'll take you a while to go through all of them, if in fact you do. Do you want to read through it and choose ones you'd like to answer, or and perhaps do the rest in some other way, or how would you like to respond to these?
Let's see. I've gotten back to the split screen myself. Let's see. Let me just start at the top and.
So we're at. Are there times when social marketing is not appropriate? But we've got more than five questions and only about 5 minutes remaining.
Yeah. I think that social. Let me just say. I think social marketing is an approach that can be used anywhere for about any problem. I think some of the things that define when it's best used is when you really do want to see behavior change as the bottom line, that you're not just stopping at raising awareness or communicating just basic information, but you do want to see behavior change. I think social marketing is very appropriate when you realize that education is not enough, that once even people realize there's a problem and what they're supposed to do about it, that there are still barriers in the way, or if you need to create for them benefits that make it kind of worth their time and worth their while to change their behavior. And let me just stop there with that. Jay, maybe one of the things, I don't know if we can make available afterwards, I could provide some resources that would help kind of illuminate some of these questions more for folks. I'm thinking of something
sure,
Alan Andreessen wrote about this right now that I think could be very helpful. So why don't we go to the next one? Can you go into more detail regarding the employee orientation website? Well, I can't right now because it's very much in process, and we're just starting to look at what is some basic information that we want to put on there. Then we need to work with the people in our at other places in the division to put that into the format that's going to be most appropriate. So I'm afraid I don't have much to shed on that yet. Let's see. The blog has been answered.
That's been covered, yeah.
Yeah. What is your view of e-health tools to achieve social marketing? I'm afraid I'm not familiar with e-health tools. What are some examples of programs where you successfully applied social marketing?
Is that something that we can provide after the fact to people? That particular one? So some examples of where you've applied social marketing in your
Yes,
state.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Sure.
So we'll do that, Tony.
Okay.
Case studies would answer that.
Case studies, so, yes.
Yes, yes. So we can provide that afterwards. How is federal funding a barrier? Having cuts in federal funding has just decreased the amount of money that's available to do things like go out and, say, pay a marketing agency to do formative research, and also has decreased the amount of money available to create and put into place interventions such as services or outreach programs or messages. So that's how federal funding has affected that. Where do you find funding for social marketing? Some funders will do that. I believe some centers in the CDC have funding for that. One thing you might do, there is a group called Grant Makers in Health, and they might be a place to look for their URL on the website and follow up with them about participant foundations and organizations that would provide funding for social marketing. Also, we found it somewhat easy to write in funding for social marketing into another type of grant. So, for example, our grant to address childhood overweight, we went to them and said, we want to do social marketing. Here's why. Here's what it will do. Here are the benefits, and this is how much money we need. What do we do to change the perception that social marketing is costly? And the kind of costly that came up was costly in terms of time, also costly in terms of financial terms, and then just in terms of people resources. To start with the financial terms, we found lots of people were thinking of social marketing as just promotion, that when we were doing marketing, that meant we were doing billboards or PSAs that had to be paid for on primetime TV. So when we showed them that marketing was more than just promotion, and that you didn't need the large amount of money to try to get that promotion out in the various channels, that helped. Also, the very last slide in my presentation of Think Like a Marketer, one of the things we tried to emphasize is that social marketing is as much a mindset that you bring to questions and planning as it is a series of tasks that you have to do or pay for, and that just by applying this new social marketing mindset to your planning will lead you to different decisions than if you had not done it. And actually, I have advised people to print out the five things on Think Like a Marketer, take it to the next planning meeting, and start asking those questions to get them to different places. In terms of cost, that it takes too much time to do, I think that's where our sitting down with particular staff and helping them get just become more comfortable with kind of going through the process, or referring them to a very salient case study, or say giving them a template to fill out that has turned out showing that it takes less time than they kind of imagined that it did. I hope that helps. Is it necessary to have a full-time social marketing expert to be really successful? No, I don't think it is. And, I mean, I started out not being a full-time social marketing expert, but at some point it's something that really caught my eye as an approach that could be helpful for us in public health. And at that time I was actually in our family planning program. And basically, I started teaching myself, and I've seen a lot of other organizations or agencies who have people who think this could be helpful for us. Basically, just start, making yourself your own expert, your own internal expert, finding out as much as you can, going to conferences, reading, participating on the Georgetown Social Marketing Listserv, so that you create that expertise internally, would be my suggestion for that. How have you used the Rothschild MOA framework? One of the things, and the article that Michael Rothschild has entitled Carrot Sticks and Promises, I think is one of the best places that he talks about this MOA framework. One of the things that he produces out of that is kind of a matrix decision grid showing that once you determine whether it's motivation that is a barrier to people or opportunity or what have you, then that will lead you to a certain decision about whether just education, additional education will work to move people's behavior, whether you need to put into place policies, or whether you can use marketing techniques that try to reduce barriers. And so actually out of the research that our graduate students did that I talked about, one of them actually recreated this matrix to show us kind of how many staff and programs could benefit from just education alone, how many needed something more than that, how many would respond only to a policy. And that was very helpful for us to try to follow that, and we knew kind of for this particular audience, this is the intervention tact we should take. And then in terms of how do you assess it? I'm not sure if that's asking for evaluation.
Mike?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
I was interested to know if that's a tool that you provide to all of your staff, or if it's something that is more appropriate maybe for program leads or management, or if it's something that you think everyone should be aware of and have the ability to use.
Okay, thank you. So far, it's something that we've primarily used internally in our social marketing matrix team to help us understand where staff and programs are in our own division as our audience. We have suggested it to some programs as something that they might want to use, but I think people have found it at first glance to be a little concept dense, if you will, and so we've been looking for ways to try to explain it more simply to people that they could use it. So right now we're using it more just out of our social marketing go-to team, and then we'll, as we figure out ways to kind of explain it better to other folks, I think we will, you know, take stabs at that. And I think it could be used both by managers and by staff at the programmatic level, though. But I found it has taken some interpretation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I think we're going to cap it there. We've got we've answered at least the questions that were on line. If people have additional questions that you think that we haven't covered, by all means, send me your questions, and I will, when I'm talking with Mike and putting together the package for people with the case studies and so on, maybe we can get some answers to those at the same
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, that would be fine.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us, and Mike in particular for presenting what you've been doing with your agency. I certainly think it's a great model for people to learn from. So
thank you, Jay, and I wish everyone successful marketing of marketing.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Bye now.